All right, we are starting a new series this morning. We're going to go through the book of Kings, and so it's going to be exciting. We encourage you that you take time to read the book of Kings as we go through the book of Kings in the next couple of weeks with different speakers that will come. But I want to start by giving us a little background of the book of Kings. So the two books were not two in the Hebrew manuscripts. In the Tanakh, it's one book. It's called Kings. In the Hebrew, it's called Melakim. So this is just one book in there. But later on, it was divided into two. Melakim Aleph, which is First Kings, and Melakim Beit, which is Second Kings. The author of the book is not known. A lot of people say, some people say it was Ezra, but the Hebrew traditions, again, they hold that Jeremiah the prophet is the writer of the book. They pick it from 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 29. So that's why they pick that idea that Jeremiah is the one that wrote the book. Of course, it was compiled according to the traditions that it was compiled by Jeremiah, but the ones who were writing was Nathan the prophet. That's, again, we don't know. But the book was written literally, and the Holy Spirit put that also in one of, so that we can, you know, learn from it. So this book was written in 732 BCE. And that's when the book was written. It covers a period of 400 years. So that is four centuries of time. That's when the book was written. But from chapter 1 to chapter 11, we see in the book one united Israel. You know, Israel was under one king, under one ruler. All the tribes were joined into one. And later on, after the demise of King Solomon, we see that now in chapter 12, going onwards to the end of the book, is the kingdom has been split into two. You have the northern kingdom. We did show you the other time on the map 2 weeks ago that the Israel, there was the northern kingdom, which was the ten, comprising of the ten tribes. There we are. That was the northern kingdom up there, the two tribes, and then the ten tribes, where Samaria is and Judea, that was what was Israel later on. Then down where the Judea, there Judah, that's where the two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, were. That was called the southern kingdom. So the time we're going through the book of Daniel, do you remember when we're looking at the book of Daniel? It was actually the southern kingdom which was in exile in Babylon. All right, and that's what happened there. That's what you read in chapter 12, going onwards to the very end. And we see that the northern kingdom was first capitulated by the Assyrians in 732 BCE. That's what happened there. And then later on, then Judah was also found themselves also by the Babylonians, who took over the kingdom. So that's a little bit of the history of the book of Kings. So my title this morning is The Fall of the Self-Exalted. The Fall of the Self-Exalted. So we're just going to go through some scriptures, and we'll see how the Lord will bless us with His word. Let's pray as we get started. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you that as we dove into the scriptures, we ask that the Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts. You guide us, you direct us, you show us insights, you teach us and give us more depth and awe of understanding in our hearts, Father. We ask that we apply your word, that Lord, we may know the depth of your word. May we know you more, Jesus, even as we read through the scriptures. In your name we pray, amen. So 1 Kings begins with just where 2 Samuel ends. Okay? It begins from there. So I want us to turn there. If you have your Bibles, let's go to 1 Kings chapter 1. And if you have your Bible, say, Praise God. 1 Kings 1, we read the four verses. Now King David was old, advanced in age, and they put cover on him, but he did not get warm. Therefore his servant said to him, "Let a young woman, a virgin, be sought for our lord the king, and let her stand before the king, and let her care for him, and let her lie in her bosom or chest, that our lord the king may be warm." So they sought for a lovely young woman throughout the territory of Israel, and found Abishag the Shunammite, and brought her to the king. The young woman was very lovely, and she cared for the king and served him. But the king did not know her. In other words, what that says is that the king did not have intimacy with her. All right? So in the first opening verses we've just read here, the first verses, we actually learn, see the fate of all mankind. What is the fate? That's the first point we read there, is that mortality is common thread to all mankind. Because here we see the first verses that King David was old, was advanced, not old, but advanced in age. You know, it's interesting to say he was advanced in age. Why was he advanced? Because it was only 70 years old. If you read 2 Samuel, you see that story of how he was. 2 Samuel chapter 5, 4 to 5. If you want to read that, you see that David was 70 years old at the time he was passing. But he was only 70. It seemed like a departure, earthly departure was imminent as he was living there. Now, this is the man who was a warrior, a general in the time. But now he's at the end of his life. The Bible says advanced in age. What means that, look, it looks so like it was an early exit, but at the same time, because the man was worn out as much as he, remember, his life was more fighting as a warrior. Some of us are not warriors, we are warriors. The warriors are those who just worry about anything. No, you see, it's cold today. No, David was a warrior. All right, it was much of his life he fought. So he was, you know, bears, lions, the Goliath, and all those guys. Later on, he found himself running away from his own mentor, the king, King Saul. And later on, as history was, you see also him being also running away from his own son, Absalom. So his life was always fighting and running and in caves and all that. So at this time now, at the end, he is lying down. It's a reminder that that we all will face the final curtains of our lives. It's a reminder that we'll get to there. That no matter how powerful we are in this world, no matter how powerful we are in this time, no matter how decorated we look, no matter how agile we may seem to look right now, there's a day that comes that we look like a baby sleeping, and because there's no strength anymore in our lives. It's a reminder. It's a reminder that life will come to an end at one point. The Bible says it is appointed for man to live once, and thereafter what? Judgment. It's a reminder. So this is what we see in this story. That even if you were a giant slayer at a time, you were an army commander of a time, but now you are at a place where they're even bringing a young lady to keep you warm. Now, as I was reading this whole story, and I'm thinking, wow, they brought a young lady. Now, not only young, but she had to be a virgin. Not only just to be a virgin, she has to be beautiful and lovely. Now, you're wondering, what was the end of all these things? Just to keep the king warm. You're wondering, why do they have to bring all that just to keep the king warm? Anybody can do the job, isn't it? It doesn't have to be a lovely virgin. Anybody can do it. But they chose to bring an electric warmer. Never touched. You go in game, you find it. So they choose to do that. An electric warmer, a stimulator, they chose that. But anyway, that's not the conversation for this morning. Our conversation is looking at the exalted, the four of the exalted. But here is what we see. Even as our end is, as our bodies are deteriorating, we're coming to an end, they're wearing out. Here is the hope that we have. Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 12. It says, even though our outward man is perishing, our inward man is doing what? Is being renewed day after day. Those that hope on the Lord, those that hope in Him, their inner one man is always getting renewed. Amen. So that's the hope that we have. And that's what we see in the Bible. Now, it's good we keep ourselves fit. We're supposed to make sure that we take care of our bodies health-wise. But there will be a day, remember, there will be a day when all that cannot happen. Remember, one time I was at home and playing with my kid. And I'm trying to do a little bit of somersault. And then I remained like this. To stretch, I'm thinking, what's going on? And I just realized, wow. My body is changing. The inward man is strong. But suddenly the guy outside says, you can't do this anymore. It's over. You can't go that. But anyway, that's what we see. We're getting renewed all the time. All right. So go to me. Let's pause. Let's go now to verse 5. And we'll go up to verse 8 or verse 9 somewhere there. And this where we dwell the rest of our teaching today. Verse 5. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I'll be king. And he prepared for himself chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not rebuked him at the time by saying, why have you done this? Just a little bit pause here. So this is, we see this story somewhere, but look at the king. He doesn't rebuke him. It tells you something about King David's parenting style. Okay? Because this has happened before with Absalom. And he also didn't do it. And it happened also with Ammon. When Ammon went to have sex with his sister. And he wasn't rebuked. But it's all his parenting. He was a great warrior, but not a so good father. His parenting wasn't very good. All right. But that's another subject for another day. So, it says, he did not rebuke him. He was also very good looking. So, this is Adonijah. He was a very good looking guy. His mother had born him after Absalom. Then he conferred with Joab, the son of Zariah. Now, Zariah was a son, was a sister to David. Was a sister to David. If you want to read that story, you can go to 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 13 to 16. You see that Joab was actually the sister, I mean the son to the sister to David. So making Joab the nephew to David. So he was a nephew. He was a nephew, okay? Just for you to get that. So he goes there, and where are we? Let me go to. So he conferred with Joab, the son of Zariah, and with the Abiathar, the priest, and they followed and helped Adonijah. But Zadok the priest, and Benaiah, and the son of Jehoiada, Nathan the prophet, and Shemaiah, Araiah, and the mighty men who belonged to David were not with Adonijah. So let's pause there. Now, Adonijah exhorts himself. How does he say? He says, I will be king. You don't anoint yourself, but he chose to anoint himself to be king. And as he's anointing himself here, you see he's doing it without the knowledge of his father and without the blessings of God. He exhorts himself. Now, like his elder brother Absalom, Adonijah repeats history. He repeats, he exhorts himself. How did Abisalom did the same thing by exhorting himself? This is our second point. Self-exhortation leads to self-destruction. But, so you actually, at the end, it will be destruction. But this story, we have seen it before. Adonijah was sitting in the front row of the seat when Absalom tried to revolt against his brother, his dad. He was there. We saw the story before. Absalom, and you know what he does? Adonijah mirrors, he takes the whole strategy of how Absalom did it. Absalom also took 50 men, a convoy, you know, in our time it's like a convoy. They are running before him. He does the same. You can read that story in the book of Samuel, in the second Samuel, like I said, 15, chapter 15. You can read that story. Absalom does the same. This guy is taking the whole story. They say history repeat itself to teach you what you do not want to learn. So it will cycle again to teach you what you refused to learn. It will end the day you learn. But Adonijah doesn't learn. By the way, the name Adonijah is a combination of two names. It's Adonijah. So Adonai means Lord. My Lord, now this is a small L. Yah means Yahweh. So it means the Lord is Yahweh. So that's what Adonijah. But Adonijah doesn't live up to his name. To the beautiful name that he has. It doesn't live up to the name. Let me remind you that it's not in the name. Some people choose to say, hey, let me change my name from Mavuto to become Isaiah. Look, you still be Mavuto, and if your heart is got evil, you still be evil. You can be Mavuto and be still be righteous inside. So it's not in the name. Of course, there's a part where the name plays a role, but in this, we see that it's our disposition of our hearts. That even if you have a beautiful name, your heart, if it's wicked, it will produce wickedness. That's all it would do. So it doesn't live up to that name. Look, let me take you to another person who had also a beautiful name. And we see that. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 14. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer. Beautiful name, right? You know what Lucifer means? The son of the morning. Beautiful name. How you have cut down to the ground, you who wicked the nations. For you said in your heart, where is this coming from? His heart. Look at what he says. I will ascend into the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of who? God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation, on the furthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. How many eyes do you read in there? Five eyes. iPhone, eh? No, I'm joking. His eye, he's talking about his eye, heart issues. And like I said, it's never in the name. Adonijah has been internalizing this desire to become king for the long time. Now he sees his father old, weak, frail, and is thinking this is the moment to strike, to become king. Because it's always been in his heart. Even when Absalom did the same, I think he was thinking, now Absalom is dead. Amon is dead. The other guy cleared is also not there. I'm the eldest. I'm number four. But now I'm the oldest. I'm the only living. The other guys are young. So now I am the one. I have this legitimate thing that I need to be king. I'll be king now. He's thinking about that. Besides, the Bible says he was also very good looking. He has the appearance. But remember, God doesn't look at the outside. He looks at the heart. We can look at the outside. God looks at the inside. So he chooses to do the same. There's I there. Adonijah just keeps going, wanting to be king. But he doesn't learn that history should not be repeated. They say it's foolishness to repeat the mistakes and the failures of another man. It says the mark of being wise is to choose not to repeat the mistakes of another person. How do you do that? You do it by observation. You observe what has been happening before, and it says, in my family, if this has been going on in my family, with me, it ends. I'm drawing a line. It ends here. I'm not repeating this same thing. A story is told about two guys who were raised by the same father. The father was an alcoholic. He wasn't really present in their lives. So they were raised by the same father. They went to the same schools. They lived in the same neighborhood. But after a while, somebody came and found them after 20, 30 years. They are now old. And found this one and said, the first one, and says, what happened to you? Because they found him as a drunk as well. He says, what happened to you? He says, look, my father was a drunkard. There was no way where I could learn. So I am what my father was, like son, like father, like son. That's who I am. I didn't learn. So they go to the other son, and they look at him, and then they found him is a successful businessman. He was an accountant. They found him and says, how come you are different? He says, I observed my father, and I choose not to become like my father. Same situation, same environment, but one chooses to say, I am not repeating history. I am not. I'm choosing to draw a line. It ends here. Like Abraham, who chose to leave his relatives and drew a line. And God says, from you I'll build a nation. You can be the person who can see in your family to choose to draw the line. It ends there. Amen. So we can learn by observation. Let me put on the screen Proverbs 24. Let's put it on the screen, Proverbs chapter 24. So this is how you do it. It says, I went by the field of the lazy man, by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. What do I see there? Say, there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its walls were, stone walls was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received entrance. In other words, when I saw it, I knew the result. What's going on here? Let's go to the next verse. Can we go to the next verse? There it was. I considered it and received it and received instructions. Go on to the next verse. 32, let's go to the next verse. Maybe it's jammed there. All right, let's go back. Then I saw it, I considered it well, and I looked upon it and received the instruction. It says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of arms to rest. What comes? Poverty. There's no devil. There's no spirit of poverty. Nothing. All I saw is that this guy is lazy. It will produce the same things. So this field is a reflection of him. Yeah. Observe. So by observation I can learn. I can tell. You can become a prophet for somebody by just seeing how they are living their lives. It says this one is the same thing. This one, wow, going places. Just his life I've seen is going places, this guy. Why? Because of how he's living his life. Observation. So we can learn by observing. And we should be good people who observe. All right. So we should never repeat history. So Adonijah repeats history. He shows, you see, because it was in his heart, he wanted to do it. It's always in his heart. All what he did was, they say opportunities are chances, right? Opportunities are chances. But opportunities are also, they reveal our hearts. We only take opportunities when we are already ready for those opportunities. In our hearts, we're already ready for those opportunities. That is why we maximize them, we seize them, because it was already there. If it wasn't there, you won't maximize it. Even if the opportunity is in front of you, you won't see it. So Adonijah is seeing the same and says, this is my opportunity to do that. Look, if I step on you, and the thing that comes out of your mouth is an F or S. It wasn't the F, it's not me who has caused the F to come out. By stepping on you, I presented an opportunity for your F to come out. Because if you didn't have an F, you had Jesus in you, you were going to say, Jesus! It's what you have. It's what you have. Opportunities are never, they expose us. They expose the inside man that you've always wanted this thing. And so that's what Adonijah is doing here. You see, the path of self-exaltation ends in pain. The path of the self-exaltation people ends in pain. Look, promotion, according to Psalm 75, verse 6, I believe, it says it does not come from the west or from the south. It comes from the Lord. And Adonijah wants to seize it. Instead of going to God, who gives, he wants to seize it by his own strength. Self-exaltation. He wants to do it by that. 1 Peter tells us to humble ourselves. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, it says, humble yourself before God. You see, it is our duty to humble ourselves. It is not God to humble us, because God, when he does it, it doesn't end well. So as we're humbling ourselves, the first thing we need to do is to build character. So character is important before we can have a position. Because without character, the lack of it won't sustain the position and the title. It won't. So build character. Build the man, the inside man. But he was going for it. And as we see the story unfolds, we see now that Adonijah, later on I'll show you in chapter 2 how it ends with Adonijah. Look, it's important not to self-exalt. Not. Jesus actually tells us a story in Luke 14 of the wedding. Luke 14, 11, he says, if you go to the wedding, just sit in the backgrounds. If they want to bring you in front to sit on the high table, they'll do it. So in other words, don't go there and say, do you know who I am? Huh? Do you know who I am? So that they put you in front. The other person should have said, do you also know who I am? So we love this front row. We love to be in front and all that kind of stuff. But when you're in certain places, just go quietly, sit at the back. If they notice you, that you have this powerful name, this powerful title, not name, because your name is not your title. I should remember that. Your name is not your title. I see people say this. What's your name? I say, my name is Pastor Sammy. I said, my name is Pastor Sammy. My name is Sammy. I am Pastor Sammy. There's a difference. Because when I say my name is Pastor Sammy, what I'm saying is that my mother says, your name is Pastor Sammy Ndlovu. Now I say, no. My name is Sammy. My name is Sammy. So when I'm introducing myself, I say, hi, my name is Sammy. So what do you do? Oh, I'm a pastor. It's what I do. Okay. So self-exaltation, all right, leads to what? Distraction leads to distraction. So let's go now to 1 Kings 1, chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 15. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 15. So from 9, 1 Kings 1, we ended at 9. So from 9 to the very end of that chapter, we see Adonijah now you know, having a feast, you know, to with people, the people like Joab, and they're having this private meeting so that they can now be, they can make him king, and so they're having that going on, but Nathan the prophet goes to Bathsheba and says, you know what? Go remind the king who God had chosen to become king. So she goes in and she tells the king, look, do you remember that, you know, you said that Solomon will be king? I wish I could take you where it was written. It's in Chronicles. God had chosen Solomon. It wasn't just by default, like, the son should I choose? No, God had chosen him. And you also see in this verse where Adonijah himself acknowledges and he saw it. All right. So they're having this private meeting, and Nathan alerts now Bathsheba to go there and reminds the king of the promise of Solomon to reign. Then David acts quickly to that and then anoints Solomon to be king. And the people rejoice. And thereafter, we see Adonijah, they hear about this that has happened. The coronation has happened of Solomon. His guests and everybody else panics in that moment. And they fear death. So Adonijah goes to Solomon. And the first act of Solomon as king. Now, King Solomon is a young man. He's going to be king. He's going to handle tough things. But the first act of Solomon was mercy. Mercy. He doesn't act by killing him and says, oh, you're trying to revolt. No. It's mercy. Reminds me of the mercy of God. His act is mercy. He's always merciful towards us. Jesus, when he came in peace to give us mercy, to receive mercy from him. So he gives him mercy. But Adonijah, now in chapter 2, still pushes the button. So let's read 15. So now after that, he gives him mercy, tells him, go home. Now this is after he goes home, after some time he come back, and this is what he now, he goes to see the mother, the queen mother, Bathsheba, and starts having this conversation. And then he said, you know that the kingdom was mine, and all Israel was set their expectations on me, that I should reign. However, the kingdom has been turned over and has become my brother's. Notice the second part. This gives you chills. For it was his from who? He acknowledges. It was his from God. He acknowledges that fact. Then he said, please speak to the king, Solomon, to King Solomon. For he will not refuse you that you give me who? Abisha, the Shunammite, as my wife. Ah. You're pushing it. So the queen mother, Bathsheba, goes to the king. And the king says, that's what he said. He says he has asked for this woman. The next thing he's going to ask is for what? The kingdom. An act of disrespecting. Because he wants to take this woman. You see, in those days when everything that the king had belonged to the king. And so if he's going to do, it's not the harem. Harem meaning that the Abisha was the property of King Solomon, King David. Okay? Like, no. So when Adonijah wants to do that, he's actually showing that he's a disrespecting act. And that is why Solomon in that chapter now says, okay, you know what? Today to be your end. So later on, Adonijah is killed. He was too pushing it. You see, what happens is this. We can acknowledge God's will, but without surrendering. That's point number 2, 3. We can acknowledge God's will without surrendering. It is possible to know the truth and yet you still rebel against it. Don't do this. You even know. You know the God's word. You know what you need, the right thing to do. You still don't do it. You still can push it. And that's exactly. You acknowledge, oh, it's God's will. Oh, I know that God, what God is doing there. But me, I know I can't. That guy, no. He can't be my pastor. Or he can't be anything. And all that kind of stuff. Because you are still not surrendering. It requires both. You need to acknowledge God's will and you need to surrender to God's will. You need to acknowledge God's will and you need to surrender God's will. But Adonijah doesn't acknowledge that. Self-exhortation. He repeats history. He has lack of character to do that. You see, when somebody has got is full of bitterness inside, they know that the right thing to do is to forgive. But the bitterness is too much. The truth is right in front. Me, I can't forgive. It's self-exhortation. You know God's word that says forgive. When you're full of rage, you're full of bitterness or envy or jealousy over somebody, you still cannot. It happened in our nation. The people still couldn't say, I'm not going to acknowledge him as my president. Because inside of you, you're just dealing with stuff. He's president, oh. Whether you like it or not. But inside man is still doing with anger and bitterness and jealousy and envy and all that is going on. He can, you see, because to you is that he doesn't qualify. To you in your own mind, in your thinking, this guy does not qualify. Solomon does not qualify. He doesn't qualify, Solomon. I qualify. So, 5 years, he's not my president. He is. So you just have to learn to acknowledge God's will and surrender. Lord, this is what you're doing. This is what you've done. Yes, I didn't think that that's what was going to happen, but I surrender. That's a humble heart. A heart of humility. You acknowledge. And then you support. That's not even just acknowledging. You support. You support. Because you can say, I acknowledge, but I'm not going to support. Again, that's a self-exhortation mindset. But when you say, you know what? He's the one God has chosen. I'm going to support. I'm going to be there. So, 3 things you're going to learn from the act of Adonijah. The bad things. That one is that there's manipulation. He's a manipulator. He goes to Bathsheba to deliver the word. So he uses the mother, queen mother, so that he can do that. So manipulation. Self-exhortation people, self-exhorted people, they manipulate. 2, they are proudful. 3, they disrespect. The disrespects the customs and the tradition, the honor that comes with it. So they still disrespect. Whether they'll do it outwardly or they'll do it inside of their hearts, they'll still continue. But you can learn from Adonijah not to do that. Here are 3 things I'm going to remain for you to carry home with. 1, another thing is that don't try to build your throne through people. Wait for God's elevation. Don't try. See, people, they always say, you are the man. Makamaka, I may not use ban, Nyanja. Those, especially when people are, you find they are in the pubs, they are drinking, and they want to have more of their drink. And this big guy comes with this title. Ah, big man, big buyers, and all that. You be the president, you. And so that you buy more beers for them. So now, this guy feels the same thing. The idea is that he's building his throne through people. I've used a bad example, but yes, that happens. Okay? Don't build your throne through people. Wait for God's elevation. He's the one that promotes. 2, crucify the ambition. It could be inside. The ambition is big and strong. Crucify the ambition that exalts itself. I'm moving. Sometimes, even when I'm alone, I try to use the word we. And says, who are you with? I said, oh, I'm trying to remove this mindset of I in me. So when I'm talking, I says, oh, we went to, but me, I'm alone. I said, you went with who? I said, oh, sorry. I've been building this word we for a while so that I remove the I. All right? So crucify the ambition that exalts self. Do that. The last one, remember that it is appointed for man to live once and thereafter face his maker. So choose how you're going to live your life. With that, let's bow our heads and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word, that indeed the entrance of your word brings light. It brings knowledge. May this word that, you know, we've seen in the life of Adonijah, how he lived his life, and the end wasn't a good end. Father, may we come to a place where we learn to humble ourselves. Not even just learning, but to crucify it. Not just to crucify it. The Bible tells us, clothe yourself with humility. May we clothe ourselves with humility, Father. So we can learn your ways, and follow your ways, and follow your direction. That you are God, and that, Lord, your path are good. That your path are good. And so we thank you, Father, for this word. We thank you for today. We thank you, Father. Now that some of us, Lord, we've exhorted ourselves. We missed it. We took our own direction. We put it on ourselves. Lord, we come to you and we repent. Forgive us, Father. Forgive us, Father. Where the truth has entered, where we feel like we still rebel the truth of your word, Father, we repent. We repent. We ask that, Lord, forgive us. Help us, Father, to live a life that you want us to live. And to follow your lead and to follow your direction. For, Lord, indeed, the steps of a good man or a righteous man are ordered by you. May you order our steps and may we follow them. Thank you, Father.